Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to start studying in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And we're going to go right on through into chapter 6. And really, the reason that we're studying all this passage at one time is that it really lends itself more to what we call a running commentary than it does an expository outline. That is, there are great spiritual truths that can be gained by studying a lesson that employs an outline and a subject matter, and then just picking up the doctrinal cross-references as we go. But in this particular case, it's going to help us actually to be able to study this passage of Scripture as a running commentary, because there's a lot to it, and you don't want to miss some of the peculiarities of the passage, some of the details, in other words, that you want to pick up and be able to see and hear comment on. 1 Samuel chapter 5, let's begin reading with verse 6. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod, and the coast thereof. All right, now notice in that verse right there, in 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6, notice that the reason that the men in Ashdod were being destroyed and smitten with emerods was not due to some strange occurrence associated with the ark. It was due totally to the hand of the Lord. Notice, the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod. In other words, when people are superstitious and religious, they look at the coincidences associated with the bad things that are happening with them. And that's what the men in Ashdod are going to do. They're going to say, the trouble we're having is associated with that ark, and so we're going to send it away. Okay? The trouble that they're having is associated with that ark only in that the Lord of that ark is destroying them. And their problem is with God, not with their circumstances. And it would do you and me well to recognize, whenever we have something that's amiss in our own lives, to go directly to the Lord and start there, okay? And make sure that everything is still all right between ourselves and the Lord. And not worry so much about whether or not the ladder was leaning up the building just a certain way, or whether or not you stepped across the line, you know, all those little superstitious things, or a black cat went out in front of you, or some strange deal, or I didn't say my little prayer thing that I normally say each morning just the right way. It's not an it problem. It is a problem with the hand of the Lord, and the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod. And he destroyed them. That means that there were those men there that were dying. And he smote them with emerods. Two separate problems. Two separate problems. Some dying and some being smitten with emerods. Now, emerods is just an older way of spelling the word hemorrhoid. Okay, so they've got ulcer-type problems, or tumor-type problems, I guess is what the real thing is, in the rectal area. Even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. So they got that part right. They recognized that the trouble is with the hand of the Lord. So they sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. So the men of Ashdod had all that ark they wanted. Gath is one more of the principal cities of the Philistines. There are five, as you'll see in this text. And so Gath gets the ark. And the men of Ashdod are hoping that their problems are over now that the ark has been sent away. Verse 9, it was so that after they had carried it about, The hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction, and he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had hemorrhages in their secret parts. Same problem. Some are dying, some are being smitten with hemorrhoids. Verse 10, therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. Ekron is another one of the principal cities of the Philistines. And it came to pass that the ark of God came to Ekron. The Ekronites cried out, saying, they brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. Do you see those comments we made about it being the problem? That's the way the men of the Philistines saw it. They saw that they were having a problem simply because of the ark. And while they understood that it was the hand of the Lord in some cases, they figured that the problem really was with the ark of the Lord. And so they want it to go away, and our people, for they are, there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men died not that were smitten with the hemorrhages, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. So what do you have there? The men that were smitten with the hemorrhages didn't die. They just had those rectal tumors, those hemorrhoids. But but there were other people that were destroyed. As a matter of fact, there's a third plague that is affecting them, and you're going to see that in 1 Samuel chapter 6. So let's go ahead and read there. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, and the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Can you imagine? It took them 7 months to figure out, we've got to get rid of this ark. We've got to get this thing out of here. Now, by the time it got to the men of Ekron in verse 10 of chapter 5, they were scared to death when it showed up, because they knew that the God of Israel would slay them. So they're saying, you know what, let's just get rid of this thing. So, after 7 months, in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, verse 2, the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if you send it away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then shall you be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. So what they're going to do is they're going to do two things. They're going to figure out if moving the ark back to Israel will solve the problem, okay, why his hand is not removed from you. And also, they're going to offer a trespass offering because they've offended by bringing the ark to the land of the Philistines. Then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. Now the reason there are 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice is because there are 5 principal cities. And those principal cities we actually read further in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And they are the ones that were affected as the ark was moved from place to place. Look in verse 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 6. These are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord, for Ashdod 1. For Gaza 1, for Ashkelon 1, for Gath 1, for Ekron 1. Do you see that? Now, those are the 5 principal cities. So apparently, in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 10, when the ark of God was sent to Ekron, it had already been to the other 4 cities. And that's why the men of Ekron were so hasty to say, let's get this thing out of here. Let's get this ark of the God of Israel out of here so that he doesn't slay us and our people. Because, I mean, after 4 times and how many ever months, up to 7 months, they knew there was a problem. Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron had all been affected. 5 cities, therefore 5 golden mice and 5 golden emeralds. Now, what was the purpose of the mice? Well, look in verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 6. Wherefore you shall make images of your emeralds. We know about that because that was the thing that plagued the men that didn't die. and images of your mice that mar the land. Okay? So three things were happening to the men in Philistia as a result of bringing the ark into their city, each city that they sent it to. Number one, men were dying. Number two, the men that were not dying were being smitten with emerods or hemorrhoids. And number three, the mice were consuming the land, marring the land. In other words, they were getting in there and they were eating crops. They were eating seed that had been produced from the crops that were being, you know, in storage. In any case, they were having a major problem. Okay? And so the trespass offering was to commemorate the two kinds of plagues that were affecting them that were not killing them, the golden emeralds and the golden mice. Almost like an anecdote, okay? And so, or an antidote. So this is what they make. And they make five of each because of the five cities, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. Verse 5, 1 Samuel 6. Wherefore you shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Now the priests and the diviners are spiritual men, but they're not saved men. Okay? They're not godly men. They are priests to Dagon, and they are diviners with the spirit of divination. And we know, as we saw in one of our most recent lessons, when a person divines by the spirit of divination, that is an evil spirit. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16, where we saw this just the other day, and it'll be a reminder to us what this diviner did, okay? Acts chapter 16, look at verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. So the spirit of divination inside of this girl recognizes that Paul and Silas are servants of the Most High God and recognizes that what they're preaching is the way of salvation. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. So it was an evil spirit, but nevertheless it confessed the truth about what Paul and Silas were preaching and recognized that they were working for the Lord God. So these men in 1 Samuel chapter 6 that are diviners are also possessed of an evil spirit, but they do recognize the proper way to deal with the God of Israel. And they recognize that in order for this plague to lift from Philistia, they've got to give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off of you and from your gods and from your land. Isn't that an amazing thing? So when somebody's dealing with a magician or a soothsayer or a fortune teller or something like that, that evil spirit inside of that person is going to confess a truth. And that's going to cause the person to put stock in or faith in what the soothsayer or the diviner or the fortune teller or the tarot card reader says, but still they're following the advice and the counsel of an evil spirit, though it may be the truth. I think I told you many years ago there was a preacher who was approached by one of the women, I think, in his church, who had gone to a seance. And there at the seance, the person in charge of the seance, the necromancer, had contacted his mother. And this fellow's mother said, you probably wonder whether or not I'm real or not, and I want to let you know you had an uncle named Doug, let's say, and he was born on such a date and died on such a date, and he lived in such a place and was buried in such a place. Well, when the fellow left the seance, he said to himself, you know, I knew these things were hokey and fake, My mother told me about a relative that I don't have, but he was still very curious and so began to do a little bit of studying into his history. He did not know about this particular relative, and sure enough, he had a relative named Doug who was born on such a date and died on such a date and was living in such a place and was buried in such a place, exactly as the necromancer had said at the seance. And so, man, he became, I mean, it scared him. And so he went to his preacher. And he said to his preacher, listen, here's the thing I've done. And the preacher said, well, not a problem. He said, I'll go to the seance and I'll see if we can't sort this matter out. And so the preacher went to the seance and called up his mother. And his mother gave him some information regarding a relative. And sure enough, that information was exactly right. And that fellow, that preacher, became very concerned about what all this was about, went back, called up his mother again, and said, listen, I am depending upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, plus nothing. That's what you taught me when I was a little boy. And I want to ask you now, is that still the truth? And that spirit said, no, no, son. No, 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 son. You just be good and keep the command. Oh, boy, he figured that thing out. That thing was religious, as all spirits are, and that thing recognized the Lord God, but would not confess the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. And that's when that preacher figured it out. Of course, you could figure it out from the Bible, but it gave him some insight, some practical insight into this matter, and that's why I told you about it. This diviner, these priests know the right thing to do with regard to that trespass against the Lord God and know to give glory unto the God of Israel. They don't do it, but they know that's what needs to be done. They're associated with a false god named Dagon. So if you get tied in, for instance, with your religious leader in a church, and that religious leader convinces you spiritually that you need to worship Mary or pray to a statue or hold on to that icon that you have or whatever that case may be, you may sense a strong spiritual inclination to follow what that religious leader you follow tells you to do, but that person possessed of an evil spirit is going to be telling you to do the wrong thing. That's what's so important and so valuable about the Word of God, because it discerns through all of that spiritual feeling and all of that spiritual draw and gets right down to the truth. Now, this diviner, these diviners and these priests instructed them properly on the trespass offering and went on to say in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 6, wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them, did not let the people go, and they departed? You see, here's the deal. These guys not only know that spirit, but they also know that history of Israel. And they said, you better let these, listen, get this thing out of here, because Israel finally left Egypt. They let them go. And you're just going to have to let this ark go and call this one a defeat. So verse 7, now therefore make a new cart and take two milk kine on which there come no yoke. Tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them, and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which you return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. Very, very clever bit of advice here by the priests and diviners. What'd they say? They said, get a cart, a new cart, brand new. Then get two milk kine. What are that? Those are cows that have had calves, and they are still nursing their calves. All right, their calves have not been weaned. That's what that is. And then make sure these milk kine have never had the yoke, on which there hath never come yoke. Tie the kine to the cart, bring their calves home from them, take the ark of the Lord, put the jewels of gold in the coffer, and send it away that it may go. What's going on here? Well, if the cows have never had a yoke on their neck, and they are yoked up to this cart, the natural response of the cow being connected to that cart is to not cooperate with the other calf in pulling that cart, but rather to fight the yoke. See? The other natural inclination of the cow is that these calves have just been pulled off of them. They've just been weaned that day. And so the cow's inclination is to go back and take care of the baby calf. what the diviners and what the priests are trying to show is that this is not just some coincidence associated with the ark, but rather this truly is the hand of the Lord. In other words, if the cows don't fight against the yoke and the cows don't turn back to nurse their young, but go on to Beth Shemesh with this ark and with this cart, you know it is the hand of the Lord that is leading them and not just some evil occurrence associated with the ark of the Lord. And put that trespass offering in there, not that the ark will know anything about it, but that the Lord God will know something about it, and he'll understand you mean by sending this thing back for him to leave you alone. Verse 9, see if it goeth up by the way on his own, of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done this great evil, but if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it was a chance that happened to us. See that? So they have it sorted out. See if it goes up by his own way. And if it does, then we know God's doing this. And if it doesn't, then we know it's a chance. So the men did so in verse 10, and took two milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and with the images of the emeralds. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went. That's lowing as they went, because it's the problem with the calves being at home. I'll tell you what, I can remember weaning day at the ranch. And we'd leave the calves up there by the pens at the ranch house and try to sleep that night. You don't sleep very well that night. You know why? And that's what these cows are doing. They're mooing, they're lowing as they went. But they didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them under the border of Beth Shemesh. They followed that thing the whole way to see if it would keep going. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart, and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord, which was the proper thing. If you go back and look in Leviticus, they are the ones that are to carry the ark. So the Levites came, they're the ones that took it down, would have used the staves in the side of the ark to get it down, so that nobody else would handle it. And the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, put them on a great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. These are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord, for Ashdod one, for Gaza one, for Ashkelon one, for Gath one, for Ekron one. One for each of the major cities of the Philistines. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both of the fenced cities and country villages, even under the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. So the stone of Abel there, they put that ark on top of that stone, and then this stone that the kine stopped by, they take that cart, break it up, and they sacrifice those cows right there where they stopped. Okay? But bad news. He smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. Now, do you remember? This whole thing with the Philistines went terribly for Israel. The first day that Israel fought against the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 4. 4,000 men died when they were pitched in Ebenezer and the Philistines were pitched in Aphek. 4,000 men died. The next day when they went to battle, 30,000 men of Israel died. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10. Then the ark of God was taken. Then there were a whole bunch of men in the Philistines that were killed by the Lord, and a bunch more that got the emeralds, and a bunch of their land was marred by the mice. And then when the Milkan bring the ark back on the cart. The men of Beth Shemesh look into the ark, and 50,000 and 70 more men died. That's 50,000 and 70 men. They lost 4,000 in the first battle, 30,000 in the next, and 50,000 and 70 men because they looked inside the ark. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God?" Good question. It's about time somebody asked that. "And whom shall he go up from us?" They didn't say, "To whom shall it go up from us, the ark?" They associated the Lord with it and said, "We got to get rid of this thing here. Too many of us have died." And they sent messages to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you." Nobody wanted that thing. You know what? That's about the way people feel about the Lord these days. They're afraid of him, but they don't want him. And that in itself is a sad thing. Now you say, why in the world would these men of Beth Shemesh die? You know, the Lord really had it out for Israel by the time all this had happened. So much had gone on that was contrary to God. But listen, the ark contained the Ten Commandments. That thing needed to be covered by the cherubim and the mercy seat. That cherubim, those cherubim and that mercy seat were off the top of that ark, and they were looking down inside of that thing. Where the glory of the Lord would meet with them? Uh-uh. One man, the high priest, was given that opportunity only when that thing was behind the veil. So a bunch of them died. Sad situation, but you've gotten quite a bit of commentary on that, which hopefully is a help to you in understanding these passages of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 5 and 1 Samuel chapter 6. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.